Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ithaca Mayor Svante L. Myrick, who became the city's youngest mayor, the first mayor of color, on January 1st, 2012. Before that, Svante served the fourth ward of the city for 4 years on the Common Council. Mayor Myrick also served as the Assistant Director of Student and Young Alumni Programs for Cornell University before resigning his position to run for mayor. Welcome, Mayor Myrick.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So what's the nickname again of the People's Republic of the People's Republic of
Ithaca? In Albany, that's how we're best known, the People's Republic of Ithaca. And that's in some cases, well, you know, we're the only city in the state that once had a registered communist as our mayor. About 3 mayors ago, Ben Nichols, who was an engineering professor at Cornell, was registered as a communist. He won 2 terms. An eccentric guy, a character. He did a lot of great things for the city. But yeah, that's one of our distinctions. He was followed by a Republican, so go figure, then a Democrat, and then myself, another Democrat.
Well, I can't believe that anybody who hasn't been to Ithaca won't go there. It is a fabulous place to be. Just fabulous.
I've had a hard time leaving myself.
What do you mean leaving?
Leaving. I showed up there 8 years ago as a student. And I'd never been
at
there
Cornell.
Before. At Cornell. And I haven't left since. I stayed every summer break, every winter break, and after I graduated, I couldn't leave.
There was an onus both in New Paltz, where Jason West won, and we're not going to allow some kid to run for mayor because they'll build a swimming pool from one end of the city to the other, and we'll all have to pay the taxes.
Right.
But we're over that now, aren't we? No.
I heard a bit of that. You know what helped in my case is I ran into quite a bit of that resistance when I ran for the city council. I ran actually as a junior. And I won a seat when I was 20 years old.
Were you a political science major?
I wasn't. I was a communication major. I actually wanted
better
to go
yet.
Into, better, even better. I wanted
I
to go to radio.
I taught both of those subjects. Yeah, go ahead.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought radio was for me. Turned out I had a voice for print, you know. And
no, you have
and
a voice for radio. You're good.
You think?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my professors didn't think so, but I appreciate it. I appreciate it. After a couple weeks, I said, you know, maybe journalism isn't what I'm interested in. And then I said, I'm going to go to law school. And that lasted about another 2 weeks, and then I thought I was going to be a teacher, and that lasted about a month. And every month since then, I've changed my mind about what I want to be when I grow up.
Did you graduate from Cornell?
I did, in 2009.
Wow. Yeah. Is it true that the kids at Cornell spit down the river at the other place there?
Oh, the Ithaca College? Not at all. Ithaca College, it turns out, is actually on the opposite hill, and they're higher up. They're at a higher altitude, which they're quick to remind us of if ever.
It's a great
they
place.
They catch us in the street.
It's a great
place.
They're both great. They're both fabulous. My money and my children both went there.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
One followed the other.
Yeah. There was 2 years when they were both there.
Okay.
And somehow I had 4 jobs and I was able to, my full-time teaching job and here, the radio stations and the rest of it, and the Legislative Gazette and all the rest of it, I was able to put together. Then it was $25,000 in cash for each of them. That's $50,000. Now, you got to earn a lot of money and you really got to work hard to do that.
Yeah.
And I asked Mario Cuomo, I said to him, how am I going to do this? He said, oh, you'll do it. Don't worry about it. But now $60,000 a year to go to school, how can kids do that?
You can't. I worked to pay my way through school. I worked 3 part-time jobs and each paid a little over a minimum wage. And between those 3 jobs, I made about $15,000 a year. And that meant that I was about $30,000 short.
Do you still have student loans out?
You know, I was lucky. I was able to get some private scholarships from Cornell alumni who had donated. You know, they gave, even though they didn't know me, they would never meet me. They never know who the money went to, and I'll be forever grateful for that. I also was the recipient of state grants and federal grants.
It's like not knowing who gave the stuff to artificially inseminate your mother. You always want to know.
It's a little, yeah, I guess it's similar. You do, in both cases, you have to walk around being nice to everyone because you never know.
It's a good thing. You never know. Okay. So tell us about upstate. If you talk about a progressive community, mm-hmm. it is Ithaca. Mm-hmm. So how are you doing? I know that the governor is spending an enormous amount of time mm-hmm. upstate with the so-called upstate strategy. Yeah. Is it working? Is it helping you?
Absolutely.
You're not just saying that because you're scared of the guy, because he can be scary sometimes.
Well, he's certainly scary, and I would say that's maybe half the reason why I'm saying it. Now, you know, what's funny is I think what the governor is trying to do is replicate around the state what's working in places like Ithaca. Because when you look around upstate, I was just in Rochester last night, Syracuse, Binghamton, Utica, yeah. near where I grew up. You've got cities in trouble all over, economies that are distressed and have been for decades since the large manufacturers moved out and left behind not just thousands and tens of thousands of people looking for jobs, but huge brownfield sites that can't be easily repurposed or in some cases still haven't been cleaned up. In Ithaca, we've got a different story. We've got a story that focused on education, innovation, tourism, and have built on those strengths that are environmentally friendly and therefore sustainable for generations, but also are scalable and can be improved upon. So we now have the lowest unemployment rate in the entire state of New York.
Really?
County. Yep.
Was that because of Cornell and Ithaca College?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's mostly because of me. No, I'm kidding.
I got it.
it's largely relying on the education sector, but also building on those strengths. So the jobs that come, you know, not everybody's going to be a professor or a staff person at the colleges, the universities, but building a tourism-based economy around, and then an agricultural-based economy around that. So we now have in the Finger Lakes, along our lake, dozens of wineries, increasing numbers of breweries, and now 400% more distilleries. What's that?
Flax, the clothing company. Don't you have that?
Is that in Ithaca?
Well, all I know is once a year, my wife takes off from Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and goes for the flax sale.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's what we try to draw people in on. We also have been working to spin off the ideas that come from the professors, graduate students, undergrads, convincing them to stay in Ithaca, build their brilliant billion-dollar idea, and manufacture, whether it's a website or software or a widget, whatever it is they're going to build, they can build it and they can sell it right from Ithaca. So
is that where Andrew Cuomo actually got the idea that he would ask each of the SUNYs to and give tax breaks to people who stayed?
I know that he worked very closely with Cornell President David Skorton, and I know he's very interested in the success that we've had. And in fact, the governor's office was kind enough to invite both myself and President Skorton up on separate occasions to Albany to talk through and talk about what started as the tax-free New York and ended up as the Startup New York program.
You think it's a good idea to bring people in and say, okay, if you work in this place, you don't have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Meantime, all the other guys at Ithaca are going to have to pay taxes to take care of that person.
Right. Here's where I think it's a fair point. Here's where I think it's a good idea. Too many of my classmates had terrific ideas, websites that they wanted to start up, products that they wanted to sell. And they got a lot of interest from venture capitalists, investors, who came in and said, I want to get in on the ground floor. I'm going to give you $2 million, $10 million, $30 million. But in return for my investment, I'm going to need you to come and sit real close to me, to where I am. And where are those venture capitalists? They're in Boston. They're in New York City. They're in Silicon Valley. So we had all of these young people and graduate students who have these great ideas, want to stay in Ithaca because the quality of life is very high. It's a beautiful place to live. It's really an enchanting place, but we're being pulled away, not because of their desire, but because of their need, right? So their investors will bring them someplace else. Now, once they built and grow these little empires, they're stuck in New York City or Boston or Silicon Valley. So why not then make New York State the investor? Why not make New York State the venture capitalist, right? The person who comes and says, we're going to give you in the form of tax breaks $5 million, but in return for that $5 million, we need you to stay right here close to us, build your company, hire employees, and start right here. When the tax break expires in 5 years or 10 years, well, now that person who started out when they were 22 is 32. They're married. They have two kids. Their kids are going to the local school district. Their husband is the president of the PTA, you know, and they're not too eager to pick up, move their entire company across the country, right? So now by making an investment up front, an investment inherently means you give away money and in return you get something back. I think in this case it's going to be money dividends, sure, but also a prosperous, socially and culturally prosperous cities, once again, in upstate New York. I think if we can be those investors, those venture capitalists, I think it'll pay off.
I want to ask you something about Ithaca that is, I don't know whether this is hyperbole, whether it's legend, There was a point at which the what was is often referred to as the Warren M. Anderson Memorial Highway, which was built in a name for him before he passed. And it was our understanding that one of the rationales was that it would go not only to Binghamton, where the senator lived, but also to Ithaca. And the Ithacanians said, we don't want it. Yeah. Is that true?
I could say this. It would fit with our culture.
Yes,
fit with
our culture. That was the question. Yes. In other words, why would you want people not coming there if you're, on the other hand, talking about, you know, building an economy?
Yeah. I think what we like is we're such a wonderful place to live. We want to make sure that
you don't get
the
polluted.
People who, yeah. not just polluted, but, you know, the people who make it to Ithaca actually really want to be there. That we're not a drive-through community, you know, we're an intentional one.
You do understand there may be a little inconsistency with what we're hearing from you here. On the one hand, give the tax break so that people will come and stay. And on the other hand,
Well, both cases, it's a long-term strategy, right? And in both cases, what does a highway do? It allows people to get to you fast, but it allows people to leave you fast too, right?
Yep.
It allows people to move through your city and away from your city. And a lot of times it allows people to live easily an hour or more away and work there as long as it's convenient, but then work elsewhere when it's convenient too. What we want, what we believe, always believe, is that slow and steady wins the race. You know, that those long-term generations out, and this is how I try to think about it, this both for our economic development investments and our environmental investments. If you've got an industry like fracking, say, that will come in for 20 years, extract what they're gonna extract, and then by their very definition, leave. Well, you know, 20 years from now, I'm gonna be 46. Right?
Wow.
I might still be the mayor. Right?
Wow.
Is that the kind of, you know, I'm not very interested in what's going to happen in the next 4 years. I'm worried about what's going to happen when I'm 46 and I have to figure out how we're going to fill all these what would be vacant rundown houses that used to be filled by the fracking industry guys, the hotels that popped up along the highways, the beautiful fields and hills that used to be tourist attractions and are now just eyesores and environmental cleanup problems. You know, I'm not worried about my children's future and my children's children's future. I'm worried about my own, right?
Now, unlike you, and we are talking to Ithaca Mayor Svante L. Myrick. Unlike you, I'm quite old.
but spry.
And I do remember the Puerto Ricans. Mm. Puerto Rico had something called Operation Bootstrap, and they gave huge tax breaks to a lot of corporations. Mm. And when those tax breaks were over, some of those corporations couldn't wait to move away. Yep. So that's something you got to worry about also, right?
For sure. And I think that's the difference between bringing in a corporation that already exists and growing one from the ground up. You know, you bring in a corporation that already exists. Well, what have they just proved to you? They proved that they're mobile. And they prove to you that they're going to chase the lowest taxes available.
And that they can leave Texas to come to Albany to set up a chip factory.
Exactly.
And when they get the next $1 billion somewhere else, they go somewhere else.
That's exactly right. If you pull a company from Scranton to Ithaca, you know for sure that that company has no problems picking up and moving because they just proved it to you. And that they'll chase the lowest taxes because they just proved that to you too. But if instead you can get the next Mark Zuckerberg to stay in your city and to build his empire in your city instead of another one, well, he's not likely to move it, you know, and that's our strategy. That's got to be the long term.
No, Ithaca's cold in the winter.
that's another way we just make people prove their love. We like to say that in spring through fall, Ithaca is the most beautiful, wonderful place in the world.
So you're 26 years old. You're an incredible success. People love you. Your reputation precedes you. So what's next?
What's next?
So in other words, you're smooth, you're articulate, you clearly have a lot of stuff going for you. Do you want to run for higher office?
Honestly, not really, not particularly.
Your parents don't say to you, come on, my son is going to be the...
My mom says, be careful. My mom is so, she's so worried. She's, the whole politics thing scares her a little bit. But I'm only a year and a half into this job. It's a cooler job. You know, I get to go to these conferences with mayors, and what mayors know that it's kind of a... It's our secret, is that this is the best job in government. It's the best job.
Unless you're the mayor of Syracuse and you feel that your city could go broke if the governor doesn't do something and comes on this very program and argues that the governor isn't doing enough, and even though she's the co-chair of the state Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's true enough, but I think if you asked Mayor Minor, if you asked Stephanie, if she would rather be doing anything else, would rather have the job of a state assembly person or state senator or even the governor, I think... What you'd hear from her and what I tell you is that this is the perfect place to be. It's where the rubber meets the road, so it's where you can actually be effective, but you're high enough up the food chain that you can be influential. It's a great place.
Well, what if they ask you to run for state senator? Would you do that?
I'd politely decline.
We'll have this little piece of tape, you know.
Senator O'Mara, he's in the other party, but he's a great guy. He's been a good friend to Ithaca, and our assemblywoman Barbara Lifton is just wonderful. She actually lives two blocks down from me. She's wonderful, wonderful, and bless them for doing what they do, because I'm not sure I could do it.
Let me ask you a question. In New York City, there's stop and frisk.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big debate.
Yeah.
You, of course, are of some color.
Yep.
And so the question then becomes, you know, the argument has been by the police commissioner and the mayor that by stopping and frisking, even though, we stop more people of color than others, mm-hmm. we're actually protecting them. What do you make of this argument?
It's a tough, you know, this is tough as a mayor. So as mayor, I'm also the commissioner of police in Ithaca and the head of a police department, but also a young man of color who has been stopped. I've been stopped by the police, you know. And
By that same department?
Yeah absolutely. Not since I became the mayor.
Well, I was going to say, when you were stopped, have you ever come across one of those guys and said, remember me?
No. No, although I'm sure I tease my deputy chief who will tell you he's in great shape. He's still on our SWAT team, even though he's climbed all the way to deputy chief. He claims he's never lost a foot chase in his life. And I said, I don't know. When I was a 19-year-old sophomore at Cornell, I made it out of one of these house parties, and the guy chasing me looked a lot like you. And he's not amused. He's very rarely amused. I think, you know, honestly, the point is of stopping frisk. What's the truth? What's the sad truth in this country is that we have huge wealth disparities, huge. And the majority of crimes are being, particularly property crimes, are being committed by those who have very little or nothing, poor people, right? So if you're a police department that wants to crack down on property crimes, who you target is poor people. Now, you want to double down on that shame, that tragedy, that we have huge income disparities. Here's how you multiply that shame. People of color in our country are more likely to be poor, right? Because of a history of inequality, slavery, racism, Jim Crow.
No doubt.
You have all of these black people, people of color, who are trapped in poverty. So when you're targeting crime, it's not just that you're targeting black people, it's that you're targeting poor people, and that most of those poor people happen to be black. So what do we do about it? You know, in Ithaca, we feel, and we do have crime, but we have one of the lowest crime rates in the state. We were just ranked in 2011 the most secure city in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, for populations under 250,000. Why? Because we spend almost as much on youth programs as we do on our police department, right? We spend $10 million on our police department. We spend $7 million on youth programs. That's outside of $150 million school budget. Why? Because we view our youth programs' number one responsibility as denying business to the Ithaca Police Department, right? They are there to make sure that the Ithaca Police Department doesn't have any, quote, customers. If you invest in young people, particularly poor people, which again are too often people of color, then you can put them on paths of success, quality education, paths to good paying jobs, and keep them out of. And again, these are long-term strategies, right? So what do you do in New York City if you have a property crime problem right now? You know, I wouldn't deign to second guess the complexity of running that city and the complexity of running that police department.
But you would put more money into preventative programs.
Absolutely. I don't think you can put enough money into, you know, every dollar you put into preventative services is not just a dollar you can save in police protection down the line, but it is the avoidance of all of that insult to human dignity that happens when you get stopped on the street for nothing more than what you look like.
That's the other side. I wanted to ask you about renters.
Mm.
You know, I with two kids who had gone to Cornell many years ago, they're 38, 36 now. Boy, I mean, you can rent something in Albany very cheaply.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've never had a student of mine who's mm-hmm. had a problem. But in Ithaca, the most slovenly,
can you say that on
degenerate place costs a lot of money.
Yeah, you've seen my apartment then.
Right. No, but I remember being in my kids' apartments.
Yeah.
And so, how do you deal with that?
We, you know, the average rent has climbed in the last 10 years from $500 to $850. It is through the roof, and it's one of the things that have driven up the cost of living beyond what's affordable. the reason, you know, and it's a good problem, but it's a problem. The reason is because our unemployment rate is so low, and we've added jobs. Over the last 12 months, we added jobs faster than any other county in the state. What that means is that people want to live here. When people want to live here, the demand is high. If the supply stays stagnant, then your price is going to go through the roof. It's one of the first things they tell you in Econ 101, you know, which is good because I only made it for the first few days of that class. So what do we have to do? We increase the supply. We build more housing. That's going to help our economy. It's going to create more jobs, but it's also going to bring down the cost of housing over the entire system.
So where do you build it?
Where do we build it? We try to build it in the core of the city. You know, I ran on a platform, and we've recently reformed our tax abatement system so it's easier to use. We increased the zoning heights in the core of the city so that we can build up. And we want to build there. Why? Because it's more convenient for folks. People who live there have easier access to jobs, but it's also where all the infrastructure is. We don't have to build new sewer lines. We don't have to build new roads. We don't have to change our bus routes. All of our investments are already there. So in building there, we can service those people without having to increase taxes on everybody. It's the way to add housing, increase the tax base, bring the cost for everyone down. And it's environmentally friendly. Instead of taking over green fields and agricultural areas, you're building where the building is already happening. And you're reducing emissions because people don't have to bring their cars and drive everywhere. I myself sold my car 3 years ago. I walk everywhere around the city or take the bus or ride my bike.
I only have a minute left. Do you eat in the Moosewood?
Oh, Moosewood. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the best vegetarian restaurant in the world.
I think so. And it certainly has the best cookbook in the world.
Yes, sir.
Well, our guest has been Mayor Svante Myrick. I have to say something to you, Mayor.
Yes,
we're really happy that you're here. And I'm sure that anybody who has listened to this program knows that with some confidence they could say, that guy has a future.
Oh,
and I love the way you answer the questions. I love the fact that you're leading the way as a mayor of a small city in New York. And I'm sure that that is not where you're going to stop. So again, thanks for being with us.
Well, I surely appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.